David suffered a lot in his life. Amen. He was a great man of God. He had his problems, but he struggled at times. What we're doing this right now is going through a series talking about good lessons from bad times. 14th verse of the 23rd chapter, 1 Samuel. And we're going to believe God to touch and minister today. Amen. Glory. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains of the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David went into the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went back to his own house. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, Lord, and help us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Now, what I've read to you this morning is David in his time of great trial. In the first lesson we learned, David went through the fighting of Goliath, the trial that he had there where he learned things about fighting giants and overcoming them. He gets anointed king, and something unusual happens. All of a sudden, David gets the anointing. He's not king yet, but he's anointed to be king. Something very important takes place. The Bible said the anointing of God began to flow with David, and that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And notice it didn't stop there. And an evil spirit began to torment Saul, which was from the Lord. Amen. So now Saul's got a problem. Not only did he mess up and do things God told him not to do and lost favor with God, but now that somebody else has been anointed king and he kind of pretty much figured this out, David suddenly is lifted up above everybody and Saul's got all these problems. David is coming through under the anointing of God, and now the people are singing songs about David. David has slain his 10,000 while Saul has slain his thousands, and now Saul's really getting upset with David. And the evil spirit that's in him begins to make him function as one who is not willing to admit that they've lost out with God. If you ever notice people lose out with God, two or three things will happen. Number one, they will continue to move in life as if nothing has changed. Saul went on like everything's fine. You remember Samson? When he finally messed up and broke his covenant, and the Bible said the Spirit of God departed him, and he knew it not because he jumped up and went to dancing. You know, we got folks in church that will get the right song going, and they'll get emotional, think, "Oh, yeah, I'm right where I need to be." But if God's not with you, that's just emotion. It's just a shout, and it doesn't matter what happens. If God's not with you, the enemy will take you down, will tie you up, and will use you. Could you say amen? Glory. Saul now has this evil spirit. David has been brought in to play for him. And as David plays for him, the spirit kind of subsides. And this kind of takes hold. And suddenly one day Saul says, "Hey, I need to get you in my family." Hello? He said, "I got a daughter, Meribah. I'm going to marry you to her." Problem was, that never happened. He ended up giving her to a guy named Adriel. I don't know who he was, just had his name in the Bible. But she marries him. And then suddenly Saul comes up with a better idea. "My daughter Micah loves you. She thinks you're something else. I'm going to give you to Micah." Now notice this. He is not doing it to help him. His exact words were, "If I give him to one of my daughters, the Philistines then will hate him like they do me." As if they didn't already hate him. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I figured David was pretty wanted in the Philistine cult after he killed their giant and messed up their city. And every time they got in a fight, he wiped out hundreds of them. I mean, after a while, they'd go, you know, if it weren't for David, we could still be winning some of these wars. And yet Saul says, I'm going to marry to my daughter. That'll make them hate him even more. Now, notice this. He's not trying to help him. He's trying to take him down. And things rock along. And all of a sudden, David gets a bad fluence. Saul says, I tell you what. I'm fixing to bust you. So I said, what do you mean bust you? The Bible said Saul reduced him from being a general to a captain. From being a big leader down to a captain. Notice this. The Bible tells me, I think it's the 18th chapter in the 5th verse. I'm trying to pull this up from my brain. And it's, you know how it is. Glory. But she's got it behind me. I already know what it says. It said, when David was leader of all the people, meaning he was like a general, he behaved wisely before the people and before the Lord. When he was busted to captain, the Bible said David acted wisely and behaved wisely before the Lord and the people. You know what that meant? Even though things wasn't going the way David thought they ought to, and even though David had been taken down, it didn't change the way David's demeanor was. He didn't react by getting mad and upset because he got busted. He kept being David as a captain, just as he was David as a general, and this upset Saul because Saul can't find a way to get David to get in the fight. Glory. And all of a sudden, Saul decides, well, I got to get rid of him somehow. So one day while he's playing music for him, the Bible says Saul's spear rested next to him. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll force him into the wall. I'll pin him to the wall. And then I will puncture him into the wall. Amen. Y'all know what that means? That means this guy that's pretty good with his spear is fixing to take David and shish kebab him to the wall. And the Bible said David somehow slipped away from him. He still put the spear in the wall, but he missed David. So that means he's a pretty good shot, but somehow David got out of the way. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? If you think you're having a bad time, you let the leader of the country decide he wants to kill you, and ain't nobody going to tell him he can't do it. You just got to pray that God will help you keep from getting killed, and you're going to get yourself where David was. The man that's in charge wants David dead. He's trying to figure out ways to take him out, and he's getting ready to shish kebab him, and David's sitting there. I have a book at home. It's called The Tale of Three Kings. Now, some of you may understand. I love to read writers like Gene Edwards. He's a Church of Christ writer, but I love his writings. And he's got a book out called The Tale of Three Kings. And they're just, each chapter's a little sermon. And one of the chapters makes this statement. David was never hit by the spear of Saul because he never got in a spear chunking contest with Saul. Because David wouldn't fight back, God took care of the battle. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Sometimes you got to come up with what David figured out last week when he was fighting the giant. It's not my battle, it's God's. I can't whip the giant, but God can. And this carries over to now. I can't take Saul out. He's the king. I can't kill him because people would think I was doing it so I could become king. But if I let God take his course, sooner or later that anointing is going to flow and God is going to put me where I need to be. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? You don't get to the top by politics. Politics will usually leave you in bad shape because by the time you hook up with somebody, they'll mess up and get knocked out of power, and then you ain't got nobody to pull to. Hello? Come on, church. Amen. I married in the Burroughs family. A few months later, we was at General Assembly. One of them got up, got everybody mad at the Burroughs, and I'm going, oh, man. Glory. That ain't why I married in, but it wasn't a bad thing until I realized I was kin to the guy the overseer was mad at, and I'm talking about the general overseer, not the state overseer. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, that's what happens to a lot of people. You get on your job, you start politicking the boss, and then they change bosses. Now all your stuff's messed up. Well, if you'd been doing your job and working hard, you would have got the reward of what you were doing sooner or later. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Some of y'all looking at me like, well, now, preacher, wait a minute. The way to the top is to go to the bottom. David understood if I humble myself, God will pick me up. And I hear the scripture saying, humble yourself. Cast yourself upon the Lord. And what's going to happen in due time, God will lift you up. Some of us needs to realize the way to the top is to go down. David understood, I'm already anointed king. It's going to happen sooner or later. If I help the process, all I'm doing is setting the cage for my own death. Hello? Doesn't the scripture say something about casting your bread on the water? How that eventually that same bread you threw on the water is coming back to you? Hello? David said, if I mess up Saul, then I'm only setting a table for him to get me. Now notice something. Saul is practicing the absence of presence. This is what a lot of people in our church are doing. They're actually practicing the absence of God. The Bible said he didn't have the Spirit. The anointing of God's not with him anymore, but he kept functioning like it was. He even tried prophesying a few times. One place it was so bad they even asked, is Saul now a prophet? Hello? The Bible tells us that many have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know what that follows up? That follows up all the things going to happen in the last day. These people that are heady, high-minded, incontinent, meaning out of control. Those people that are lovers of their pleasure more than lovers of God. Those that are seeking only what's beneficial to them. These are the people that are out of control. And the Bible said they may have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. David understood, God has anointed me king. If I bide my time and I be the man I'm supposed to be, sooner or later, God is going to elevate me to the throne I need to be on. Sidebar. That's what they call it in court. Me ease off on the side and throw something at you. Isn't it amazing the very thing Saul tried to kill David with was what killed him? Oh, we're not talking about somebody else's spear killed him. It was his spear he died on. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. It's back there somewhere. You may have it. I know I'm skipping around what you have, but I'm doing the best I can. Glory. Amen. We're going to get it all together before it's over with. Amen. Notice this. All of a sudden, a young man comes up to David. And he says, I was walking through the mountain in Gilboa, and I found Saul stuck on his spear. And before any of y'all go back and come back after church and say, now, wait a minute, preacher. In the last chapter of 1 Samuel, said Saul fell on his sword. That is a saying meaning he committed suicide. Hello? In 2 Samuel chapter 1, it said that Paul was leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed after him. Paul's trying to commit suicide, or Saul's trying to commit suicide. He stuck his spear in the rock, jumped on it, and the problem is it embedded just far enough in his chest he can't get off, but it didn't kill him. And he's standing there, and he's stuck in the rock. He's stuck on the spear. And he looked at the young man and said, come here. Now, who's the young man? This is significant. He walks up to him and he said, what's your name? He didn't give him a name. He didn't say, my name's Joseph or Judah. He said, I am an Amalekite. I'm one of them people you were supposed to kill that you didn't kill. Huh? Remember, Saul was told by God that's what got him in trouble. Go kill everybody over there. And instead of killing everybody, he brought some of them back. And now they follow the armies around waiting for the war to get going. And when some people die, they go down and they strip jewelry off of them. They get their military armor off of them and they sell it at a marketplace. And that's what this boy's doing. They've had a battle. He's there. But he also realized the Philistines are looking for Saul. And Saul understands if life is still in me and they catch me, they're going to torture me. They're going to treat me bad because of who I am. And he said to the young man, would you please push me on this spear and do me in? Hello? And the young man's telling David in this chapter what he did. And he said, I realized he wasn't going to win. He's not going to live with a swoon that he's got. So I put my feet on his back and I pushed him onto the spear. And he took his crown, he took his bracelet, and he carried them to David. And he said, now I got his crown. You can put it on. You can become the king. Here's his bracelet. That's his war bracelet. Gives him power and authority. Amen. Can I tell you that if there's something in your life you need to get rid of, the longer you play with it, the better chance it is. It's going to take you out. Come on, church. Oh, I'm having bad times. Might be because there's something in your life you need to deal with that keeps pulling you down. And if you keep letting it get stronger and stronger and hanging around, sooner or later it's going to catch you at the most opportune moment and shove you on your own spear. Take your crown, which represents your authority. Take your bracelet that represents your ability to make war, and it's going to destroy you. Hello? Now, I got to finish this story in the sidebar before I go back to my sermon. Because that young man's waiting on his reward. I brought him the crown. He didn't need him to bring him the crown. He was going to be king whether he got that crown or not. And let's face it, David's not as big as Saul, so that crown probably wasn't going to fit. So he didn't need this boy to do what he did. But David told one of the guys, said, go give him his reward. And the Bible said they run him through with a spear or a sword. In other words, you put your hand on a man of God, even though he might not be right then the anointed man of God, somehow vengeance will fall on you. Come on, church. Oh, he thought, yeah, I'm fixing to get my payment. He did. He got sent on to his glory. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, that's not in the Bible. That's exactly what the Bible said happened to him. Amen. Got to get back to my story, though. Saul's chasing David. David's running from Saul. David's trying to stay away. He goes to the wilderness of Ziph, and he's there in the wilderness hiding in the caves, and he's there trying to keep away. He's got 600 men. Saul finds out where he's at, and he sends some men to get him. Amen. Number one, David understood, if I allow the anointing to take care of me, I can trust the anointing completely. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about when trouble comes? You don't have to depend on what the doctors say. You don't have to depend on what's going on in this world. You can depend completely on the word of God and the anointing of God and believe that my God is able to bring me out and do a bit abundantly and more than I could ever ask or think. Come on, church. Saul sent messengers three different times to get David. And what happened to them, the Bible said, when they got there, the anointing fell on them and they began to prophesy. Amen. So y'all don't know, they didn't just stop, start talking. The word prophesy meant they began to do uncontrollable dancing. They walked up to get David and they didn't know what happened. They just lost it. Glory. So I said, preacher, that's not biblical. You remember when they came to get Jesus? When he first spoke, what happened to the guys that got in the way of his words? They fell as if they were dead. Why? Because the anointing of God. So what are you talking about? After a while, Saul says, well, if you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself. He goes down to get David, and it hit him. And the anointing got on him. You say, what are you talking about? David began to understand what the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah when it said this, the Spirit of the Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. I've got to understand the devil may come and yell. He may do what he wants to, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And in Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror through him who hath loved us. Could you say amen? Woo! David began to understand, I can lean on the anointing of God completely. But he also understood something else. Not only can I lean on the anointing of God completely, but I can understand that I can also trust the anointing. Hello? God will never leave you. As long as you don't leave God, God will be with you. As long as you're hanging on with all you got, God will stay with you. And when David prayed, God not only kept Saul from getting him, but all of a sudden David wakes up one night and Saul's in the cave with him. David's in the back of the cave and Saul's sleeping in the front of the cave. And David slips down and cuts a piece of his garment off. And the Bible said David became convicted for what he did. Even though David knew he was to be king, even though David knew he was to hold the office, even though David knew that Saul was there, he understood whatever I do to him could happen to me. And he went to Saul and said, look, I cut your clothes. I'm sorry. Of course, it blowed Saul's mind. He didn't realize his coat had been cut. He said, I got some of your hair too. Just to let you know, if I wanted you dead, dude, you wouldn't be here. Lord, hello? David allowed the Spirit to lead him in that situation so that it began to ease some of the trouble between him and Saul, so that Saul no longer was trying to kill him as bad as he was before. Don't know that he ever trusted him, but at least he backed out because suddenly he realized, well, if he wanted me dead, I'd be dead. Amen. Church, we've got to realize that if God is for us, ain't nothing coming against us. And David understood, if I trust the anointing, it not only will keep others from getting to me, but it'll keep me from doing things I'm not supposed to do. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm led of the Spirit, I will do those things that are led of God. If I've got the Word of God in my heart, it will be a light unto my path. Why? It will show me where to step so I don't mess up and do things wrong. If I learn to trust in the anointing. Glory. Whew. David understood that if I let God have his way in my life, everything is going to be all right. Church, listen. Trouble's going to come. Whether it's Saul trying to get you with a spear or it's just the devil trying to take you out because you're doing something. Amen. But can I tell you, no matter what's going on in your life, God is still in charge. Everything's still under his hand. And as long as I'm sold out to him, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, or the day after. David began to understand that he could trust in the anointing so much that later on in life, he would pray about his battles and let God show him how to fight and God show him how to do things. I remember him sitting under a tree saying, God, help me out. And God said, when you hear the sound of the wind, go out against them. Hello? Why? Because I'm going before you, and I'm going to fight the battle for you. Come on, church. And because he understood that, he understood that God was going to take care of him. And listen to what he tells us. He said, if I got my mind on God, nothing else matters. Psalms 37, fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither like the green herb. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the, and verily thou shalt dwell in the land, and feed on his fullness. Amen. You know what he said? He said, if I'm trusting God, I don't have to back up. Because God's going to take care of me. What did he say? He said, those that ain't living right's going to fall anyway. But if I hang on to God, God's going to bless me. Flip to the next verse. He said, delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, when you sell out to God, eventually God's going to help you. You say, well, preacher, God's going to give me everything I want? Uh-uh. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be given unto you. But now notice something. If you've got the word of God, you're not going to be praying for something against the will of God. Amen. Come on, church. And if you're sitting there praying for God to make you a millionaire and God knows you can't handle $1 million, he ain't going to give it to you because he don't want to lose you. That's why some of us ain't millionaires. Glory. We get to be millionaires, we would never come to church. Well, you know, I'm just so busy. Besides, I'd have to pay my tithes. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Glory. Amen. But he said, delight yourself. Then he says, commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Notice this. He said, first of all, you got to fret not over evildoers. Then you got to trust in God. Then you got to commit your way. But then notice what else happens. Flip to the next one. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light, and your justice as a noonday. Next one. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You know what he said? He said, once you get to working with God, just learn how to rest in him. Just take it easy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Amen. Church, I don't know if y'all understand this, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that fire was going to be hot. They understood their chances of living, according to man's theology, wasn't very much. But they looked at the king and said, do whatever you got to do. Our God, whom we serve, is going to keep us in the fire. And they went in the fire and they came out. But they went in saying, it doesn't matter if I burn, I'm still going to win. But if I don't burn, I'm coming out with victory. Either way, I'm winning. I want to have the confidence of Peter. They just chopped his buddy's head off the day before for preaching. They've locked him in a prison. And to be sure he don't get out, they got guys chained to him. because the king is expecting to bring him out the next morning and chop his head off just like he did James's. Got prayer meeting going on to church. Of course, that prayer meeting's about like ours. When Peter got out, they thought it was his ghost. I know I didn't need to say that, but sometimes we pray for stuff, and if it actually happens, it blows our mind more than it does those who heard us praying about it. Glory. Come on, church. They over there praying at Rose's house, trying to get Peter released, and he knocks on the door, and they're going, oh, there's a ghost down there. And no doubt that it couldn't have been Peter. I mean, he's locked up. Come on, church. It's in your Bible. Some of y'all look at me like, that ain't in there. Yeah, it is. But I want you to get the frame of Peter. He knows the next morning they plan on cutting his head off. He's laying there chained to two dudes, and he's so sound asleep, the angel had to wake him up. He ain't sitting there wanting the last meal and testament. He ain't worried about whether or not he's going to write the last letter to somebody. He's not worried about what's going to happen in the morning. He's so asleep, the angel had to wake him up. In church, you ever had to wake your kids up? And they so asleep, you got them dressed before they realize their clothes is on? Read your Bible. He was up, dressed, out of the prison, and walking down the street before he realized he wasn't dreaming. Why? Because he understood no matter how bad things are, God's still in charge. And if I learn how to quit worrying about everything else and just trust in him, rest in him, commit my way to him, then everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Can you pop up the 27th division of Psalms that I has right toward the end? Probably right before that one. Glory. And this is what I'm going to close with. The Lord is my light, my salvation. In whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? Next one. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. For the war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. What's he confident in? That God is on my side. Church, you're going to have problems. Some of you may wake up tomorrow morning to a phone call you don't want to get. Some of you may wake up next week to a letter coming through you don't want to get. But it doesn't matter as long as you're serving God and you're sold out to him. You don't worry about what's going on. Understand that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And church, that's what David began to understand. It doesn't matter what's going on right now. All I know is I've got an appointment with a throne. And sooner or later, I'm going to be king because my God will lift me up in due time. Stand with me all over the house. Father in heaven, we thank you today, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend your name. I commend these people into your name. I believe you, God. Touch us today with your love. Move on us with your power. Let your glory come down and touch. God, have your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 God, I'm believing you for your touch. Glory. Move on us today with your power. David began to understand that if he handled the anointing carefully, but trusted in it completely, that his God would bring him out continuously in his grace.